Lord has made all what? Indecency, those which are apparent and those which are hidden. Sin, wrongful oppression, that you associate a partner with a lie, when you have no word or permission to do that of what has been revealed, and that you say about a law concerning something that you don't have knowledge of. My Lord has made it all. However, to talk about a law and you don't have knowledge. Right? That's our evidence that it's haram. But we have to stick to whatever Allah says about himself in the Quran, whatever the Prophet of Allah has said about Allah in Hadith, without tajweed, without tahreed, without tanzeeh. What is tajweed? Tajweed simply means saying how something is, explaining it, saying how something is. Taqlid is how. When you talk about the taqlid of something, you're saying the howness of it. You're explaining how it is. Now, I'm going to ask a question. I want you to really think deeply before you answer the question. And raise your hand so that everyone will speak at the same time. If you think, after thinking real deeply, how to answer this question. Taqyid means how, to explain how something is. Whatever it is, it makes you different. You say taqyid, taqyid means the case of something. Case that means how. You say case how, how are you? Taqyid means the how of something, to explain it. Alright? Think real deeply. Is this, before you answer, think real deeply. Think real deeply. Is it permissible? Is it permissible to explain or make taqyid with Allah? To make taqyid of Allah? To explain Allah, how Allah is? She was quick. You see how quick you are? I said, think deeply. When is it permissible? Yes. Mashallah. Mashallah. I love it, boy. I love it. I said, the only time. Text just doesn't mean Quran, it means also hadith. Authentic hadith, not unauthentic. Alright? So, taqyid, which means the explanation of Allah, excuse me, the explanation of something, not Allah, the explanation of something, how Allah is. The only time it's permissible to do this is when you go back to principle number one. Is when Allah has already said it himself, or his prophet has already said it. That's when it's permissible. But if you don't find Allah saying something about himself, or Allah prophet saying something about Allah, it's not permissible. Now you fall into chapter 7, verse 33. I'll give you an example. I saw a brother the other day, and because of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you see a wrong, a munkar, you change it with your hand. If you can't do that, then you change it with your tongue. If you can't do that, then you hate it in your heart. He said, that's of the awful iman. That's the weakest of faith. A brother came in the master the other day, and this woman sent me stones. He was standing in front of me, and he turned around to go back out. He had a shirt. On the top of the shirt, I asked him, I said, hey, come back, come back. I said, where'd you buy this shirt? He said, at a rally or something like that in Virginia. He said, I wanted a souvenir, so I bought the shirt. On the back of the shirt, it said, God is light, and then it had, God is light, CWA. God is light with Coke. Coca-Cola. God is like this. God is like that. And they would use the phrases, coat is the real thing. So God is like a coat. God is like TWA, whatever the slogan is for TWA, I don't know what it is. Alright? God is like this. I said, I peace, you know? I said, this shirt you have on is a major sin. This shirt is a major sin. T-shirt, a major sin. I said, because Allah says in the Quran, Laysa kamithli zi shay. There is nothing like him. How can you say Allah is like a Coca-Cola soda? How can you say Allah is like TWA? How can you say Allah is like Xerox? How can you say Allah is like IBM? Oh, this is a big sin. This is a major sin. Allah said there's nothing like him. The other major sin that he falls into is he's saying something about Allah that he has no knowledge of. Now, why didn't give him permission to say that he was like a Coca-Cola? You see? You can't say Allah is the boss. Allah is my boss. You tell your employer, Allah is my boss. Did Allah say one of his names was the boss? see how Shaitan gets you?
Yeah.
Little simple things like that. Allah is a divine mind. Who told you Allah said his name was a divine mind? Since Allah calls himself a divine mind, since Allah calls himself the ultimate reality, the absolute all thought. Allah don't call himself that. Allah says he's Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Malik. He says, Qu'idu Allah awidu Ar-Rahman. Call him by Allah or call him Ar-Rahman. But whatever you call him, he has the most beautiful name. Definitely calling Allah the boss is not beautiful name. You can't say Allah is my employer. You can't say, because it's why? Because Allah on top is in the table. You follow what I'm saying, brothers and sisters? So now, the only time we can explain how Allah is, or what he is exactly what the sister said, and Allah reward her and all of us, I mean, is that Allah has already explained, Allah has already made the taqyid of himself and his prophet, or his prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has made that taqyid. You can't even go to the Bible and say that's Allah. Not permissible. Why? Because Allah says in the Quran, فَوَيْلٌ لِلَّذِينَ يَكْتُبُونَ الْكِتَابَ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ ثُمَّ يَقُولُونَ هَذَا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. Woe, curse, destruction on those who change and write the book with their hands, and then they say this is from Allah. You see? You can't say it's that verse from Allah that says that Allah is Allah, because you don't know if Allah said that or not. But it's got all kinds of stuff in that book, man. It puts stuff in, it puts stuff out, it changes stuff, puts things out of context. We can only go by one of two sources. The Quran and the authentic hadith of the Prophet, whether it's the Prophet saying it or Sahaba. If Abu Bakr says in the hadith is authentic, Allah is this. And the hadith is authentic, Allah is that. You can call one. If Umar says Allah is like this, Allah is this, then you can say, if the hadith is authentic, that Allah is like this, Allah is this. That's the key. If Uthman said it, if Ali said it, if Abdul Rahman ibn Awf said it, or Bilal said it, or Fatima said it, or any of the illustrious Sahaba said, Allah is this. We call him Allah, we call him this name. And the hadith is authentic, then know for surety that you can say it. Why? Now how can I seem like I'm switching up? How can it seem like I'm switching up when I said originally that we have to stick with what Allah and the Prophet said? How can I now switch up and add something else to it with the companion? How can I do that about Allah's ways and messages?
Because it's thinking Hadith or Rasul, I said that whatever the Caliph and Rashidun
stick to my Sunnah and Sunnah of my rightly guided Caliph.
Right.
Okay, well, if it's not the rightly guided Caliph, Because Abdul ibn Mas'ud wasn't a Khalifa.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't a Khalifa though. So, what do I do then?
Well,
yes.
The example of how we should be as an Ummah.
And it's going to something even more important than that. Anybody? Why can I take what the Sahaba said about what Allah said? About what they say about what Allah is? Yes.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that we are the best humans.
So the Prophet says it. The Prophet says they're the best people of my generation. But that's showing you something not really getting that close. It's getting close, excuse me, but it's not. The point is that they were the most knowledgeable of all the ummah about Allah and His religion. They were the most knowledgeable. There's no one that knows about the meaning of life better than the companions. And if anybody thinks that, they fool themselves. Or they smoking something or something. I don't know what they're doing. They think they know something about the planet better than Alpha in Alpha. Or Obeying Cow or Abu Musa El Asha. I mean, how somebody in Muslim they write in my life, oh man, I don't believe that hadith. I know better, man, I don't really need that. I'll just give it my food. And I'm from the project, I'm going to say, this means this, and I'll just give it really means that. The reason why we can take what they say, because this thing about Allah's name, that's is called Tawqifi. Tawqifi. The only way, if the hadith is authentic, the only way a companion can say something about Allah's name is that he had to have gotten it from the Prophet. Even if he doesn't say, the Prophet said Allah was good, if the hadith is authentic, you know that he had to have gotten it from the Prophet. Why? Because Allah is of the unseen. And the only way we can know about Allah is that He reveals this information to us. So when He reveals it to the Prophet ﷺ, it's obvious that through that chain, He reveals it or explained it to the companion. So if a companion says, Allah is this name, for instance, whatever, then we know if that hadith is authentic, we know that even though he didn't say the Prophet said it, we know that that companion got it from the Prophet. Because it's a matter that, it's an issue that he couldn't have gotten it from any other source. Because Abdullah ibn Mas'ud didn't receive revelation. Bilal, as much as people love him, black folk, he didn't receive no revelation. Angel didn't come to him. Angel came from Muhammad for the Lord of Sunday. So the only way somebody can say, the only way a companion can say anything of the unseen, of the ghaibiyat, the things of the ghaib, the unseen hidden things, the only way if the hadith is authentic and a companion didn't say the Prophet said that there's a sirat, there's a bridge that the Muslims, that the human beings are going to go over, or that there's a scale that the deed is going to be put on. The only way a person can say that, they had to have gotten from the source of Allah's revelation through the mouth and breath of the Prophet. Because all these things dealing with Allah are called tawqifi. Things that only Allah Himself or the Prophet could have revealed. Because the things of the unseen, hidden things, things that you would have never known about. You would have never known that Allah has a faith. You would have never, there's no way that you can rationally look up in the sky, meditate in some cave somewhere, make dhikr, and say Allah has a faith. There's no way you could have learned that unless Allah told you. You don't know what color underwear I've got in my drawer unless I tell you. How you gonna know? How am I gonna know something about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unless He tells me? So we have to first believe in whatever Allah says about Himself and His name and attributes or the Prophet said about Allah without tekyif. Alright? Without taqeed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says through the mouth of this prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that at the end of every night, in the last portion of every single night, the third portion of every night, Allah descends. He what? What? Descends his throne. This is authentic hadith. Allah descends his throne to the lowest heavens. Alright? Lowest heavens is spoken to us. Because Allah created seven heavens. The lowest one is spoken to us. Okay? Allah descends his throne. He asks his servants, the angels, he said, who is it of my servants wants forgiveness? So that I can forgive them. When they stand up the night prayer, the husband says, who of my servants wants something so that I can give it to them? Who of my servants? You see? Now, Allah says he descends. Excuse me, the Prophet says he descends. How do we understand how Allah descends? Without taqeed. We don't say Allah descends like this, or Allah descends like this, or Allah descends backwards or frontwards, or he descends 50 miles an hour, or 5 billion miles an hour, or he descends sideways, or he descends floating like a leaf. No. We believe that Allah descends without taqeed, without explaining how. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that he has a throne. He has a throne. An arsh. He said he created seven heavens. Above the seventh heaven is water. This is in the Quran. In the Quran. He created seven heavens. Above the seventh heaven is water. Above the water are angels. Those angels are holding up the throne of Allah, and over that throne is who? Allah. Allah. Allah is over his throne. But how is Allah over his throne? We don't know. Is Allah over his throne like this? Huh? If Allah was thrown like this, if Allah was thrown like this, if Allah was thrown like this, this? No. We believe that Allah is over his throne and he ascended over his throne without taqeed. If you say that Allah is not over his throne, then it really doesn't mean that. You fall into chapter 7, verse 33. If you say that Allah doesn't descend every night, the Prophet said, every night. You say he didn't, you fall into chapter 7, verse 33. If you say Allah is not ascended over his throne, that he's not over his throne, if you say that, and it's been clearly brought to you, clearly explained to you, gently, kindly, with respect, courteously, Allah, brother, akhi, or sister, Allah is over his throne. He said it in the Prophet. If you say no, he's not, you are in kafir. You are in kafir. If you say that it really doesn't mean that Allah is over his throne, that his throne means authority, or that his ascension over the throne really means he overpowered and conquered the throne, then you're getting close to being a kafir. Getting close to. Not a child, you're getting close to. If you say that Allah's prophet says he descends every third into the night, he descends his throne and asks those questions. The person says that it's all, it really doesn't mean that. It means his mercy descends. Now let me ask you a question. Using your dalil aqli, your rational evidence, prove rationally, not from the Quran or Hadith, prove to me rationally Why? It can't mean that Allah's mercy comes down. When people, when Allah says, the Prophet says that Allah descends, not come down, but descends, comes down. Allah descends. Some people say it means His mercy comes down. How would you disprove that? Anybody else? Think about it rationally. How would you, not from Quran or Sunnah, rationally thinking, how would you disprove that? How would you prove that wrong?
Mercy didn't come down.
No. I said that Allah's Prophet sallallahu alaihi said, Allah defends His throne the end of every, the third part of every night. Mm-hmm. Some people say, no, it doesn't mean that. Some people make taqeed. No, excuse me. Some people make, not taqeed, but they make what they call taqeed. They negate it. Oh, excuse me, tahreed. Tahreed is when they change the meaning. Tahreed means they change the meaning. Alright? Now some people say, no, you misinformed, you don't understand. It really doesn't mean that Allah comes down. Oh, you wouldn't believe that literally? It means His mercy comes down. How would you prove that wrong?
With the first rule, where it says that how Prophet Muhammad explained Allah.
In other words, just take it to the text. What's another way you can prove it? Rational, yes, sir.
Allah, one of the attributes is that He's merciful, is that He gives a sign that He's merciful, He's always merciful.
She's close. She's close to
the text. He says that He sends down in a certain portion of the life.
Uh-huh. She's real close. Real close to the answer. That's our sister. You're real close. If you bite off that, what he just said, build off what he just said, you'll get the answer. What's the answer? The answer is that Allah's Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that at the third part of every night, Allah descends. If someone says that that's the mercy of Allah, then that means if it's not the third part of every night, what does that mean now, logically? What does that mean? Let's say it's the second part of every night now.
That's the only time that you'll extend His mercy. That's
right. And if that's true, what happens to us? We be destroyed. We be destroyed. We exist by we exist because of His mercy. Right? So if that's the next thing that is His mercy that's coming down, then that when it's not that time, that means it's over and over for us.
Yeah.
You see? It's illogical. Not Quran and Sunnah, it's illogical. It's illogical. Alright? Okay. So the second thing is tahreed. Tahreed. This means when someone changes the meaning of what Allah said about Himself, or what the Prophet said about Allah. Tahreed. And brothers and sisters, that's number two. Tahreed is when you change the meaning of something. Change the meaning of something. Tahreed. T-A-H-R-E-E-S is in French. Tahreed. First one is tekyid. It's when you tell how. You say how something is. Tahreed is when you change the meaning. And there's two ways that people make tahreed. And let me tell you one thing before we tell you two ways. I'm going to tell you about 10 minutes, 5 minutes?
10 minutes.
10 minutes. Brothers and sisters, tahreed is, in fact, all of these, all four. The tahreed is one of the sifat. What's the sifat in English? Qualities or
attributes.
One of the sifat of the Jew is tahreed. This is one of his attributes. They love to change the meaning of what Allah says. See? And the Muslims
are following the attributes, have adopted the attributes of the Jews. We're no longer satisfied with what Allah says about the Jews. We're no longer satisfied with what our beloved Prophet said about Allah. We have to be people who are people of tahrim. See? Now, unfortunately, the Muslims, you have a group of Muslims who are ahlul tahrim, the people who change the meaning. Tahrim is of two types, brothers and sisters. Two types of tahrim. Either they change the actual word of the Quran, or of the scriptures of Allah, the actual word itself, or they change the meaning. Alright? Either they change the word, or they change the meaning. That's two types of tahrim. Alright? Now, can anyone give an example of tahrim that they've ever read or heard from Muslims making tahrim of Allah's name or attributes? I gave some examples already, believe it or not. Can anyone remember what I said? Anyone? Go ahead, think about it. Of Allah's names and attributes? Of Allah's names or attributes? Anybody? Somebody, okay, then give me an attribute of Allah that you've read in the Quran or heard from the Prophet of Allah. Anybody? Hmm? That's a name, not an attribute. Al-Bari is a name, not an attribute. Anybody? Al-Rahim is a name. Al-Rahim is a name of Allah, not an attribute. Al-Razzaq is a name of Allah, not an attribute. Okay, we won't go into that. Ar-Rahman is a name, not an attribute. The name. I gave three already. An attribute of Allah is his ascension over the throne. It's a description of what he does. His descending the throne is also an attribute. See, what happens is, excuse me, cutting off with you. What happens is, we'll come right back to show up. What happens is, you've forgotten the beginning of our speech today. You've forgotten what is the definition of a name and attribute. That's what happens. That's why you keep saying all the names of Allah. Yes, and we're going to leave that off because we're going to come back to Ayat al-Kursi. Right? The verse of the footstool. Not the verse of the throne. They call Ayat al-Kursi the verse of the throne. That's incorrect. Ayat al-Kursi is the verse of the footstool. But Allah has a footstool where he puts his feet, and he has a throne of where he is over. Alright? This is from authentic hadith, from the Quran, authentic hadith. Now,
so see this footstool and throne.
Yes. Yeah, Allah has a throne, and he has a footstool. The footstool is called the Kursi, and his throne is called the Arsh.
I'm going to give a definition like that.
Because they changed what Allah said. They made Tahrim. Oh, that's wrong. They fall into 733. Yeah? Okay. I'll give you an example of Tahrim, but it's not dealing with directly with Allah's names or attributes. It's just dealing with the Quran or something in the Quran. In chapter 2, verse 58 and 59. Chapter 2, verse 58 and 59. Allah says, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا ادْخُلُوا هَذِهِ الْقَرْيَةَ فَكُلُوا مِنْهَا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمْ رَغَدًا وادخلوا الباب سجدا وقولوا حصة نغفر لكم خطاياكم وسنزيد المحسنين. فبدل الذين ظلموا قولا غير الذي قيل لهم فأنزلنا على الذين ظلموا رجزا من السماء بما كانوا يفسقون. And when we said, go, speaking to the Jews, go into this village and eat as you want. Eat freely of that which is inside the village and enter into the door or the gate of that village prostrating. And say, Jews, Allah, and say, Hitfafun. This is what Allah told the Jews to say. Told them to say, told the Jews to say, Hitfaf. Hitfaf. Alright? Hitfaf means something like towel back. It means like to repent. Go into the village. Go into this qarya, this village, this township. Eat anything you want. Taqulu ragada haythu. Taqulu min haythu shittum ragada. Whatever you want to eat, go ahead and eat. You have free reign of the whole place. Alright? وَدْخُلُوا الْبَابَ سُجَّدًا. Enter into the gate. وَقُولُوا. Allah ordered them to say, حِطَّ. فَنَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ. Allah says that we will forgive you. We will forgive you, Jews. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we will forgive you of your خَطَايَاكُمْ, your sins. وَسَنَزِيدُ الْمَحْسِنِينَ. Thus do we reward the right doers. So what did Allah say they did? فَبَدَّلَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا قَوْلًا غَيْرَ الَّذِي قِيلَ لَهُمْ. Allah said, but those who did wrong, they changed the word which had been told to them to say. Changed the word. Allah told them to say, حِفَّ, which means repent. If you do it, I'll forgive you of your sins. We reward those who do good. Allah says we change the meaning. The disbelieving Kafirs, thinking Jews, change the meaning of what Allah said. Allah said, فَأَنْزَلْنَا عَلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا رِجْزًا. So Allah says, and we sent down what on them? Rizq. We sent down on them wrath from heaven. مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَا كَانُوا يَفْسُقُونَ. For what they used to do. For what they perpetrated, this crime that they perpetrated, Allah sent wrath down on them. You know what they did, brothers and sisters? The first thing they did was Allah said they changed the meaning of the word. How did I say that this, how many types of taqweem, Father?
Two.
What are they? Either by the what? The word, right? Or the meaning. And Allah said they did which one? They actually changed the word. They changed the word from hitfah, which means repent, to hinfahun. Hinfahun. They changed the word from hitfah to hinfah. They took out, they added what? An N. They added a noon in Arabic, at an N. They changed the meaning of what Allah said. Alright? Hinfah means like a little grain of a kernel of corn. And a big ear of corn. Or it also means like a little piece of hay. Something real tiny. In other words, they were ridiculing Allah. They were laughing at Allah. They were making fun. Taking this as a joke. Yeah.
instead of saying head thought, we'll say hen thought. Yeah, you know, some little small insignificant thing. And you know what he did when Paul said, what the Quran Zab and goes in the gate prostrate. You know what the Pastor said they did? They turned from hell on their buttocks and drove themselves into the village bathroom. Arrogant people. They instead of submitting, they turned around, got on their back part, and a group of them slid like this on their butt. And he says that had a Ladina father who with them. Paul Bob says, we sent down from the beast of Minister Mass, we sent down wrath on them. We sent down wrath on them. You know, can't be up to because of what they, because of their disobedience. But this is a form of tahrim. They actually added. You see how serious this is? That's jealous. Allah says he sent down rings on them. Wrath. For putting one letter in a word that he told them to say. Now, how many Muslims do this? See, how many Muslims do this? The other way that people make tahrim is what? Changing the what? Changing the meaning. But when Allah says he descends, Muslims say that when Allah didn't descend, it means that mercy comes in. For Allah says he has hands, Muslims are saying no, hands means power, he don't really have hands. What's the difference between the Muslim and the Jew? What's the difference? What's the difference between the Muslims and those Jews who did this? There's no difference. So if Allah says, فَأَنْزَلْنَا عَلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا رِزْقًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ that we sent down wrath upon them from the heavens, what makes you think he won't do that to the Muslims? Just because you say, La ilaha illallah? Oh, I say La ilaha illallah, and you didn't. But what is the meaning of La ilaha illallah? There's nothing worthy of worship. That means you're obedient. You're accepting what Allah says in the Quran to be accepted the way He said it, and you shouldn't change the meaning. If you don't do that, then you're not worshiping correctly. So He may just send the wrath down on you too. And maybe that's one reason why the Muslims catch so much problems around the world. Because Allah says one thing, and we change the meaning. Correct? So this is just an example, brothers and sisters. And you can check also chapter 5, verse 13, as an example of what they did when they changed the meaning. And also, you can check chapter 2, verse 75. Chapter 2, verse 75, and I said chapter 3, verse 2, chapter 5, verse 13. Chapter 2, verse 75 says, أَفَتَسْمَعُونَ أَن يُؤْمِنُوا لَكُمْ وَقَدْ كَانَ فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ يَسْمَعُونَ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ يُحَرِّفُونَهُ يحرف تحريف يحرفونه من بعد ما عقلوه وهم يعلمون. Do you have any hope in those that they will be true to you when a party of them used to listen to the word of Allah then used to change it even after they understood it knowingly? And chapter 5 verse 13 says فَبِمَا نَقْضِهِمْ مِيثَاقَهُمْ لَعَنَّاهُمْ وَجَعَلْنَا قُلُوبَهُمْ قَافِيَةً. And because of their breaking the covenant, we have cursed them and made hard their heart. Why? يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِمَ عَنْ مَوَادِعِهِ. Because they change the words from their context.
That's 5:13.
Ask you with the Yahudi. Muslims doing the same thing. Allah says he has feet, saw a lot of them. They don't really mean that. Allah says he has eyes, oh, it doesn't really mean that. Allah says he has fingers, oh, no, it doesn't really mean that. It doesn't really mean that. It means something else. SubhanAllah. We seek refuge with Allah from this. We seek the protection of Allah from even thinking like that.
not thinking it, even thinking like that.
Yes, I think.
It all concludes because I think it's after 8 o'clock.
Yes, about 8:30.
8:30?
So when they do that, I mean, they take it upon themselves to
think about Allah without brother. They're actually putting themselves as a partner with Allah because they're saying, I know Allah as well or better than himself. It's a major crime. Yes, or over the time of Allah, you're going to be Allah from that kind of stuff. See? Well, that's the first rule of the scriptures. The first rule is to stick with the text. Stick to the text. Whatever Allah says about himself in the Quran, his name or attributes, whatever the Prophet says in an authentic hadith about Allah, stick to the obvious, apparent meaning. Whatever the Arabic says, that's what it is. If that's what it says, that's what it is. Without taqeed, saying how. Without tahreed, saying changing the meaning. Without tamthil, this is the next one, number three. Tamthil is what? Without saying that Allah has similarities or likenesses. Without saying that Allah has something like him. Tamthil number three is without tamthil, meaning Allah doesn't have any likeness. There's nothing like him. What's your evidence for this? From the Quran.
Verse 42.
Chapter 42, verse 11. Laysa kamithlihi shay'un wa huwa as-sami'u al-basir. There's nothing like him, and he's the hearer, the seer. Alright, so when you say, we say we believe in the names and attributes of Allah without tamthil, we mean that we believe in beautiful names and perfect attributes of Allah without saying they're like something else. Allah has hands, but his hands are not like Dawood's hands. Allah has feet, but his feet are not like your feet. Doesn't negate the fact that he has them. They're just not like yours. Allah has eyes, they're not like your eyes. And the last one, is Ta'atil. And we're going to end it here, inshallah. Ta'atil. Ta'atil is negation. That's when you negate Allah's name or attribute altogether. You say that it doesn't exist altogether. You're not saying you're changing the meaning. You just say it doesn't exist altogether. It doesn't, you don't, Allah says he has fingers? No, you don't. Allah says he has fingers? No, you don't. Come on, man. I ain't down with that. Oh, I ain't got no fingers. Where you get that from? Prophet said that he, in authentic hadith of Bukhari, he's going to take the trees on one finger, the rivers on another finger, the earth on one finger, this on another finger. He's going to roll it up on the day of resurrection. He's going to take the heavens and the earth, he's going to roll it up in his hand. That's what Allah says. Oh man, come on man, you believe that's spooky. Spookism, man. You believe that stuff? Yeah, I believe it, without top ears. I'm not negating anything Allah says. Well, Allah knows better than I know. He said it, that's it. Whatever he said, that's it. Unless the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and an authentic hadith or a companion in an authentic hadith explains that it doesn't mean that. Unless Allah says in the actual hadith or verse itself that it doesn't mean that, or in the hadith the Prophet is explaining that it doesn't mean that, we have to go with it and say that's what it is. Without tafheed, without tahreed, without tamthil, and without ta'atil. Without saying how, without changing the meaning, without saying it's like this, or without negating the meaning altogether, or negating the thing itself altogether. Is that kind of clear, brothers and sisters?
Yes.
Inshallah, we'll come back next Monday. Tamthil means likeness. Similarity.
Okay.
In other words, when you say Allah has hands and you have hands. My hands is like Allah's hands. Okay? That's called tamthil. Tamthil. Now you're saying Allah is like something He created. And the proof against that from the Quran is there is nothing like that. Chapter 42, verse 11. Alright? People may say, Akhi, man, how can you say Allah has hands? That's a humanistic quality. No, it isn't. Why does that be humanistic quality? Just because human beings have hands. Allah was here before we were here, and He had the hands first. Right? Why is it all of a sudden now we forget that Allah was here first and we say that's a human quality because Allah, because I have hands and you say Allah has hands? Allah was here with His hands first. And Allah will always be with His hands, but you may get yours, Allah, may Allah forbid, chopped off. You may get yours amputated. There's now that proof that you ain't no human being no more, because you ain't got no hands. Is that it, brothers and sisters? Huh? سبحان الله وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت وحدك لا شريك لك أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم وعلى آله وصحابته أجمعين. We left off at the beginning of Allah's beautiful names and perfect attributes, right? And did we mention that the Muslims are divided into three types?
Yeah. Yeah.
When it comes to the belief of the names of Allah, the attributes, mm-hmm. What was the first one, sister? Do you remember? First.
Those that believe in only, I don't know exactly.
Those who believe in what?
Some of them
believe in. No. All of them believe in all of the names. You remember?
The first group is the ones that believe in all the names and all the attributes of Allah.
Uh-huh. And the second group?
The believe in all the attributes.
No.
Not all of them.
No. You're not saying it correctly. You have to say the whole thing.
Believe in all the names and not the attributes.
Right, they believe in all the names and none of the attributes. That's the second group. What's the third one?
They believe in all the names and some attributes.
All the names and some attributes. So the first group is Muslims, those who believe in Allah's names, and they don't believe in the attributes. The second group are those who believe in all the names and all the attributes. The third group, I may be saying it out of the order. But the third group are those who believe in Allah's names and part of the attributes, some of the attributes. We also mentioned, I think we gave principle number one, right? The first principle that we need to know.
Right.
We gave this, right? You were here, right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Anybody else, can anybody tell me what was the first principle?
First principle is that we, Allah, we believe in Allah's names and attributes in the way that Allah and His prophets have described it.
Excellent. That's basically that's it. I mean, you go through the whole way I said it, just in a nutshell, the way it is. We believe in the names and attributes of Allah, the way He describes Himself, and the way the prophets describe Allah in authentic hadith. From the outward appearance of the Arabic language, in other words, Allah says He has a hand, the word yed in Arabic is hand. We don't change the Arabic meaning of the word. It means hand. That's it. Somebody says, Daoud has a coat. To the average English-speaking person, if you say Daoud has a leather coat, it's not going to mean Daoud has a purple Seville Cadillac. Right?
Yeah.
You're not going to take the meaning leather coat and transfer it into purple, you know, Seville Cadillac. Right? Because the outward, obvious meaning of leather and the outward, obvious meaning in the English language of coat is leather coming from some animal like a cow,
and told to come and let you put on. So the law says you have a face. You don't change the meaning and say, oh no, the face really means in mercy. No. The basic, the very first principle that we have is whatever you read in the Quran, whatever you hear from the Quran about Allah's names, beautiful names, and perfect attributes, how Allah describes himself, or how the Prophet described Allah in the Hadith, in the Arabic language, exactly what it says, that's what it is. That's all we don't want anything else. So we give examples the verse of Quran and the chapter on why it's not permissible to say anything other than this?
Chapter 7, verse 33.
At the end of the verse, it says, if you say that about Allah, that which you don't know. In the beginning of the verse, Allah says it's haram. The statement about Allah that you don't know. Right?
Right.
Did we give an example? Yes, we did. About Allah having two hands?
Right.
Okay. Now, we'd like to give the first branch of the first principle. Part to that first principle. So the first principle has parts to it. It's divided. The first principle is that we accept what Allah and the Prophet said about Allah. The way he described it. Alright? The first principle, the first branch. In other words, we just know the first principle. First principle, or we won't even write first principle. We'll just say principle number one.
That's not what it says here on the board, not the
truth. No. The first principle is what he just said. The first principle dealing with the law of names and attributes, right, is what he just said. What is it? We believe in the name and attributes of Allah the way he describes himself and the way the Prophet describes Allah. If it says the same thing, it's okay. Let's do it.
The first principle is to believe in what Allah says about himself.
No. Because you have to add the names and attributes. See? Else, you can say, yeah, leave it like this. You can leave it like this. Right? But you have to add the obvious meaning. That's key. However, whatever the obvious outward appearance of that word is, that's where you put it. You see? Allah doesn't say he's a tree. Alright? So if he's saying he's a tree, that's where we have to accept it until we find out that it doesn't mean that. Because sometimes Allah calls himself something and it's not him. He doesn't call me. We won't come to that. Sometimes he does it. But until we know if it means something else, we accept it exactly the way it is. You follow what I'm saying? So the first principle has now A to it, first principle A, and that's what we're going to deal with now. And that first principle is, that branch, or section. In other words, principle number one, branch number one of principle number one, that's A, is. That is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has named all of his names are perfect. They're beautiful and they're perfect. All of Allah's names are beautiful and perfect. The Arabic word that is used is all of Allah's, not the first principle, this is the first branch of the principle. All of Allah's names are asma. Asma, name,
yeah.
that in the Hadith Qudsi that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He is kind. So when we look at this closely, we know that this is not Allah. We know that this is not one of the names of Allah. Even though Allah calls Himself that. Now someone may say, well, wait a minute. He just said that the branch, the first branch, the first principle, or the first principle is to believe in how Allah describes Himself and how the Prophet describes Himself. For the Lord of the Prophet Allah. Now you're saying that when Allah says He's a Zahra, you're saying He's not a Zahra. Alright? And that's exactly what we're saying. We're saying Allah is not Him. Why? I'm not asking this for me to answer it, I'm asking this for you to answer. Why? That's right. That's right. That's one of the reasons. But is not okay, we'll leave it like that. Time is created thing. But what else? I mean, what else is there to know that this is not Allah? Right? That's the reason. Time is the beginning and the end.
That's perfect.
Not perfect. And we just said that Allah's name has attributes in Shadow. And that those names are beautiful, they're perfect, they're complete. Time is not a perfect thing. No. It has a beginning and an ending. Anytime something has a beginning and ending, that shows persistency. It's a defect. Isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Is it? If something has a beginning and end, that shows definitely that it's not perfect. Because things that have a beginning, don't have a beginning or end, means they're eternal.
So saying, when Allah says that He is time, then that you have to look at that as saying that He created time?
No, you look at it from looking at, we mentioned last week, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will explain what He means in the actual verse itself or the hadith, or in another verse or another hadith, He'll explain what He meant in the hadith like we're talking about right now, or the verse that He's talking about. In that particular hadith, where He says, لَا تَسُبُّ الظَّهْرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الظَّهْرَ. Don't confuse time, for surely Allah is time. The end of the hadith, the very next statement right after that says, بِيَدِّ الْأَمْرُ بِيَدِّ الْأَمْرُ أُقَلِّبَ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ. In my hand is the administration. I revolve, or I cause the revolution of the day and the night. That's the end of the hadith. So Allah is showing you, He's showing us that it's not He that is the time, that He's the controller of it. Because the Arabs have a habit, they had a habit, and we do today, we do it today. We even do it. They have a habit of abusing and reviling and rebuking and scorning and chiding and upbraiding and any all the other synonyms, parts of creation. For instance, for us who have developed the Muslim character, what we'll do, or having developed perfectly, or completely, or kind of those of the guiding to develop our Islamic character, what we'll do is when the wind blows, we'll curse. We'll curse the wind.
It's raining.
But with the process of learning from the street of Islamic character of a good Muslim, he used to make Allahumma inni as'aluka. He used to ask Allah, oh Allah, I ask you the khair of this wind that you've created in prison. And I seek refuge to you from the evil of this wind that you created in prison. He was cursing. So the Arabs had a habit, like we do today, they had a habit of a cursing time. You see, something would happen, man, night time. You know, three times, man, already. See? So the Prophet said, Allah says, man, don't abuse time, don't curse time, don't defile time. But then know why I hold God. For surely Allah is time. The yet is ever. In thy hand, Allah says, in his hand is the command, the administration. You see? We know we learned from Tawheed al-Rabb. That's the Rabb, I believe it's that evil Rabb, is three types. He's the Khaliq, he's the Malik, and he is Mudabbir. That is creation,
that he is the owner and the administrator and regulator of everything. So he makes the night and day revolve. Night and day are 50%. So actually Allah is telling us that when you abuse time, you abuse the originator of it and the controller of it. Actually, what you're doing is by trying to revile the time, you're actually reviling the author and the controller of it. So Allah shows that this thing is so important, he attaches himself to it. You see? And he does with the houses of Allah. See? Allah allows human beings to create houses, to make houses with their heads. Out of all the houses, Dawood's house, Fatima's house, this person's house, Prophet Muhammad's house, Musa's house, George Bush's house, out of all the houses in creation, the best houses are what? The masjid. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show honor and respect to the masjid, because their houses of Allah, that they're the houses among the many houses. Allah calls it what? Faith of law. See? And not that he lives there, like George was living in the White House, but it's just to show how honorable this house is among all the houses that Allah has. That all human beings have the permission of Allah. He's the same thing with Jesus, alayhi salam. He does this in a lot of things. He'll connect himself in what they call in English a construct phrase. The first member of the construct phrase and the second member of the construct phrase. He'll do this to show the honor and respect of that thing. So he calls Isa ibn Maryam, alayhi salam, and Allah teaches his honor most, Ruhullah. Ruh of Allah, the spirit of Allah. Not that Allah is a spirit, or we took a piece of himself and blew it into someone. No, I don't do that. We should represent Allah from that type of thing. No, what it means is that out of all the spirits that Allah created, this one has a special place in Allah. So much so that Allah attached his lovely, beneficent name to it, out of the flesh. You see what I'm saying? He attached his name to it. You follow what I'm saying? Like in the Quran where Allah from the Arab says, Na'afullahi, the camel of Allah. So Allah rides on the camel? No. The camel was a text for the people of Sardis. I didn't put up. Right? He told them to do something good. What did they do? They disobeyed him and they held hands from him. So Allah, out of all the camels that are created, Allah took this camel out. And to show the importance of this camel, he connected his name, his beneficent, sacred, holy name to the camel. Camel of Allah, she camel of Allah. Because this camel has a certain status among all the camels. You see? So the thing is this, when Allah says, don't abuse time, he says, don't abuse the things that I control, because if you abuse the things that I control, that's abusing me. So you know you can't abuse the law. Right?
Okay, when I'm out in, when I'm out to, in the Quran of Adam, I believe, you say I believe in the name of my spirit. Is that similar to what you are saying? You say believe in it.
This is exactly what I'm saying. It's not that Allah, see, this is some of the problems that some of the, this is not some of the problems, this is the problem, or one of the major problems with the Sufi family. They have, unfortunately, been duped by Shaitan to believe that human beings are designed because of that verse in the Quran, Allah from God says, when I talk to Sufi, even Ruhi, that I blew into him some of my soul, up on my spirit. So they think now, I mean, they use a syllogism in logic. If A equals C and B equals C, then A equals C. If A equals C and B equals C, then A equals C. So, because Allah says in the Quran, when I talk to him, when I talk to him in the Ruhi, that I have blown into him, into Adam, my spirit, right? That's in my spirit. If Allah is the Son, then he's the spirit that's in the Son.
If the skin is divine, if you do so much as the animal, what does that make us? Partially divine. See? But this is a wrong thinking. This is wrong thinking here. First of all, we have a lot of the Holy Spirit. Wow. Right. So the Christians are the Holy Spirit. Allah is not a spirit, he created spirit. If Allah is a spirit, then he created. If he created, he's not Allah. Right? But when Allah comes to Allah says he blew into him of the spirit, he means he blew into him the spirit that is honored among all the things that he is spiritual. So the spirit of angels. Angels are spiritual, his spirit is jinn, his spirit in animals. Right? And you know, a group of them, when they die, the spirit leaves. You know, the soul or the spirit. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is the verse we're talking about, and the verse is like it, when he says he blew into him the spirit, alright? And we know from the hadith that it's not even Allah. Allah is the cause of it. Because the hadith, in the Quran hadith says, that surely all of you are in the womb of your mother, right? When a certain period of time goes by, 20 days, and then you are like this, you're Musa, and then you're Alaka, then you're Musa, you're a leaf-like creature, and then you sperm meets the egg, and it hangs from the womb of the woman's uterus, and then from that, then the bones and the flesh all come, and then Allah comes out of it, the Prophet comes and says, then he sends the angel to blow into the woman's womb, into that body that's born of silence, and then you meet the woman's physical flutter of breath, your stomach movement, and you go to the angel's chest. Right? So this is not that Allah took a piece of himself, because he did that, all these billions of people have been living throughout the years of time, that is a lot of these, either Allah has been completed. Right? I mean, if there's a piece of him coming off from everybody, I mean, you know, then that means Allah is deficient, and we just mentioned Allah is not deficient. Right? So it just means that spirit that he put inside of this human being is more honored than the spirit that's inside of the genie. And the spirit that he put inside of the human being is more honored than the one he put in man. The same principle saying, house of Allah. Out of all the houses where you may live, the most honored house with Allah are the masters. And that's why he attaches his name to it. When he says, I blew into human beings my spirit, it's like somebody that you honor. It's like you say, this is my man. My man. You love him so much, you attach yourself to him. Like all the things you have, this is my man. Right? You attach yourself to him. Right? Well, Bob, this is my man. What do you think? Oh, absolutely. In fact, there's a certain hadith that says animals will be questioned on their judgment. So what animal they do? Okay. So when we say Allah is time, we don't really get Allah's time. We get Allah is the controller of time. That's the first branch to the first principle. Right? For those who can't raise y'all, give it to somebody else. I don't think there is. The Nagar Bukhari and Muslims and the Walker and the Malik and the Nas and Abu Dawud, and that's the only hadith I know that is translated in English. They're usually in there's some hadiths that are more detailed. They have a lot of details that Bukhari Muslims don't have. Like that has happened in a book called The Subject. You know, they have things that there's like real detailed information, like details about hell, details about heaven, details about Adam's life, and things like this. You know. There's a lot of these things that come in English and stuff like that. Okay, the second right? This is part number two of the first 100. Anybody who's had it before, please. There's only some people here that share that. Please give me other people a chance. Does this make any sense? I mean, a lot of blame on that.
All right. We have a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said,
أن أسألك اللهم بكل اسم لك صليت به نفسك أو أنزلته في كتابك أو علمته أحد من خلقك أو استثرت به بعلم غير علمك. الحديث الثاني يتكلم من أحمد بن حبان بن الحاكم بن الحديث المعتمد ومن قول عبد الله بن مسعود. الحديث I ask you, Allah, by the names in which you have called yourself. Right? And I ask you, Allah, by the names in which you have revealed to someone from among your people. And I ask you, Allah, by the names in which you have revealed in your book. And I ask you also, by Allah, and also in turn also, and I ask you also, Allah, and Allah, ta'ala, by the name I was stored up in me to enter the labor in it, by the name which you have kept stored up with your soul in the unseen. That means you have a name. So the Prophet or the Prophet was able to call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the name that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did reveal to him. Just by saying, I call on you by the name that you stored up with your soul. Right? Even though he didn't reveal to us what the names were, that's just the proof that he had other names. Alright? Somebody want to say something? Alhamdulillah. Okay, that's B. Am I going to do that? B. Still the first principle. B.
First principle,
third branch, or third section, or third category, or I don't know, whatever you want to call it. C. Allah's names are not confirmed or affirmed or authenticated or substantiated or any of those words, and not determine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through rational thinking. In fact, this principle is a specific principle, but in general, you can't figure out anything rationally that has to do with the unseen. There's no way you can rationally sit down and logically deduce through some type of explorational inference that this thing exists and you haven't even seen it. There's no way that a human being could have known, in general now, this is specifically what I'm talking about, in general, there's no way we could have known that there's a punishment in the grave. No way. How could you know? How could you know that there's a bridge that you're going to go across, called the Salah? How could you know that there's a tail that your bees are going to be put on? How could you know that there's beautiful, big-eyed women that you're going to be praying for all the time in paradise? How could you know that, right? Right? It's not for the sisters too, don't worry about it. How did you know that, right? Without Allah telling you in the Quran, or the Prophet telling you in Hadith, right? You couldn't know. So the same thing about Allah, or similar to that, how did you know that Allah has these minions unless He revealed it? You get a lot if you figure it out, right? The reason why is because this thing is called Tawqif. You mentioned this last week, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
All these issues are called Tawqif. Tawqif.
You mentioned it in the first three verses.
Hmm?
You said these issues.
Yes, the first three verses was the first principle.
You said all these issues, one is Tawqif.
No, this issue of not being able to know anything that is of the hidden. On the unseen, because these issues fall under what they call Tawqif. In other words, the only way you could, Tawqif simply means the only way you've been able to know it in the law or the proper code. That's basically what it means. This is a long definition for it, a technical term, a technical definition for it. But the only way you really could have known, Tawqif means that only, you can only know it when the law is not in code. For instance, we have a hadith where Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said, he said that Allah revealed the Quran two times. Right? The Quran was revealed twice. Said that the first time Allah sent the Quran down all in its entirety. The whole Quran. He sent it down to the lowest heaven. And in the lowest heaven, because Allah has seven heavens that He has created. And the lowest heaven is the one that logically is closest to us. In the first of the seven heavens, the one who is called the Map of Dunya, which is the focal one of us, there's a house that Allah created. In each heaven, there's a house. And the one that's closest to us, there's one called inside of this lowest heaven, called Baytul Izza. Bayt al Izza, the house of might. Abdullah ibn Abbas, this is not a proper thing. Abdullah ibn Abbas says that Allah revealed the Quran in its entirety. Lil Jumla, that's what the hadith says, or Jumla says. He revealed it all at once. It stayed there until the first night of revelation, Laylatul Qadr, in the month of Ramadan, and the last 10th night, the odd night of Ramadan, the Allah the Prophet was in the cave, and he saw the angels. And in that first verse, the first of the 96th chapter, first 5 verses came down, اِقْرَ بِسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ عَلَقٍ اِقْرَ وَرَبُّكَ الْأَكْرَمَ الَّذِي عَلَّمَ بِالْخَلَقِ عَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانَ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ. Read in the name of your Lord who created. That's when the Quran started coming down the east. From that point, it came from Lawh al-Mahfuz, from the preserved tablet, to the lowest heaven, it stayed there in society until the month of Ramadan, 1413 years. Alright? Now, the point is that after the Ibn Abbas is saying this, the Prophet is not saying this. So, if the hadith is authentic, do we believe it? Do we believe it? Alright, how do you believe it? How do you know that's true? Because what? Yes, it's authentic, but this is Abdullah ibn Abbas saying this. And this is, how could Abdullah ibn Abbas know this?
Revelation. But did he receive revelation? Where did he get it from?
Rasulullah.
That's how we know that this is true. Because he just can't rationally figure out that the Quran came down all at once, and then it came down again the second time in pieces. You can't wrap it down on a prayer rug, right? And it came down on the ground. How are you going to get that kind of thing? You know? That's what we mean by Tawfiq. Right? And the names of Allah are Tawfiq, the attributes of Allah are Tawfiq specifically. And anything that deals with the unseen or the hidden is called Tawfiq. Right? Okay. So the third one, C, Allah's names are not substantiated by rationality or logic. I don't think that's correct anyway, correct? Rational?
You make rational thinking, something like that, right?
Not rationality. Same thing? You sure? My God, you made me wrong. I think you're saying it's about as bad as mine. By rational thinking or logical deduction. But only by revelation. Right? Okay. That means we stop. Whatever Allah says his name is, we can't rationally think of other names. Like we have people who call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the ultimate reality, or the total reality, the divine mind, and the support and the force be with you, right? They got all these names, they just logically, you know, like, I don't know what it is, you know, they must have smoked or something, but they have all these names they give Allah, and he can give himself. Rationally, it's just, you know, but rationally, you can be in trouble like that. This is dangerous to rationally try to think about the names of Allah. Because I mentioned this before, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything. We agree with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'm going to be real explicit now, brothers. So excuse me. I'm going to be real explicit. Allah, we know Allah created everything. And I want to make this point real clear. Allah created everything because he said so. He said, well, Allah caught up a foot in the shape. He created everything that we can see and we can't see. Alright? We also know the law, because of that, he created pigs too, right? Right? He created foxes. Right? So you don't stand in dua, or sit, or lie, or whatever how you make your dua, and you don't say, all creator of boobies, something like that, right? Or all creator of pigs, or all creator of whatever, you know? You don't say that, but that's a lot, right? No, listen up, you understand what I'm saying? Allah is the creator of pigs. But you don't say, yeah, Allah is the creator of pigs. Right? Why don't you do that? Why can't you do that?
So we don't even know that he's the
creator. That's not the reason why. That's not the reason why you can't call me. You can't call Allah when he didn't call himself. You can't do that. We went through this last week. You can't say Allah is my boss. You can't say that. You can only call Allah what he calls himself or the prophet calls. You can't rationally. But rationally, if that was the case, we can say, oh, creator of pigs. Right? Oh, creator of manure. He's the creator of manure, isn't he? He's not. Because if you don't think it's created in manure, then you're saying it's more than one created. Right? Now you've been violating something else. Right? You can't do that. Alright? So, that's C. If we're going too fast, please let me know. The other reason why we can't use rational thinking or a logical deduction to determine the name of Allah is because our rational thinking is limited. It's limited. As wondrous as the human mind is, the brain, as seemingly unlimited in its power and its ability to do things, calculation, whatever, we can't use the human mind to rationally deduce Allah. How can we use something that is limited to determine the unlimited? It's not, you know,
We know that the atom can be split. But do we really understand how it's split? Do we really understand? I don't think so.
This is knowing.
Huh? What did you say, sir? Huh?
That's why you always
Huh?
That's what I'm saying. A lot of scientists, they just, a lot of things that they do are in theory.
Sure, it's theoretical, man. It's theoretical, but they don't really understand a lot of this stuff. Now, how are we going to... Now, they can't understand things that God created. How are we going to understand the Creator? Unless he informs you. Unless he tells you about these things. Right? D. This is that all of Allah's names, or each of Allah's names, indicates his essence. Allah's names point to or indicate his being or his essence. Right there, we'll fill some more. So a lot of names indicate his being or his essence. And his attributes or qualities or characteristics. Some of them being his name, some of them extend out, affecting the creatures or his creatures. And others do not. Same explanation, right? Or you don't have it. Guys, you understand it?
We need to share some stuff with you.
We need to share some
stuff.
Anybody understand that?
Allah's name indicates his being or his essence and his attributes and his attributes. Some of them extend out, maybe my punctuation is like really, that's why you understand. Some of them extend out, affecting his creatures and
and others do not.
And others
don't. Alright? Now I think I'm gonna put the Arabic word in here because it may be kind of what we mean by the being or essence. Is that D-H-A-A-T, that. But the brothers and sisters in studying Arabic spell like this. Zel Aleph Tet. That means being or the essence. Right? Anyone want to try to explain this? Anyone? You want to give it a try?
Yeah, that some of his name attributes affect the creatures. but not all of them. Meaning that those ones that do that are responsible for their existence.
Wrong. That's cool. What it means is, well, maybe we should give an example. For instance, Allah has one of the names of Allah is El Azim. El Azim. El Azim. Right? Everyone know this one? No?
Yep. One of the names of Allah is El Azim.
We say this at least 20, 21 times a day, maybe more, every day. You may mispronounce it sometimes, but this is what we're trying to say, and you will quote it.
Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim,
Glory to my Lord, the most great, Glory to my Lord, the most great, Glory to my Lord, the most great, al-Azim. Right? And this man, al-Azim, is the name of Allah. Remember, it's the 99 names. In this name, Al-Azim, there is an attribute called Azmah. Azmah, which means might or glory or magnificence. It means something really, it's so great. It has an intrinsic meaning of something magnificent and lofty at the same time. Allah Azim. This is the name, but inside of it is an attribute called Azmah. Alright? This attribute, this name, doesn't extend out to us. In other words, we're not affected directly to the point where we share in that particular attribute that's inside of the name of Allah al-Azim. Make it simple. Allah's glory and his magnificence doesn't have a direct effect on you. But the name of Allah al-Rahman, the beneficent, has the attribute, we just studied, this was 20 minutes ago, has mercy in it. The name of Allah al-Rahman and al-Rahim has the attribute Rahmah in it, which is beneficent. That extends out to the creatures. Right? Black defeated, white defeated, Muslim defeated, non-Muslim defeated, homo defeated, heterosexual defeated. Everything receives the mercy of Allah. Right? But his glory and his majesty is with him, it doesn't extend out. That's something that is an essential, intrinsic part of his being. It doesn't go out. So some of his being, all the names you mentioned have attributes. All the names have attributes inside of them. Some of the names, the attributes inside of them extend out to us, and some of them don't. For instance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name is El Qudus. El Qudus, the Holy. El Qudus means the Holy. Simply. That intrinsic attribute of the holiness inside of the name the Holy does not affect anyone in the world or anything in the street. Like mercy does. We feel mercy of Allah. Every single day we're affected. We're affected by the mercy of Allah. Because his name is Al-Rahim. Al-Rahman is Al-Rahim. But Allah's name, Al-Qudus, has an attribute of holiness in it. That doesn't affect us. That doesn't affect us personally. Why? Because human beings can become holy. That's why brothers and sisters is incorrect to call the Prophet Muhammad holy. You can't say the holy prophet.
Not saved. It's been correct. No one can be born except for one. You see? It's a system. That particular thing means the attribute is an essentially intrinsic, co-eternal attribute that stays with Allah. It doesn't go out for the people. They're not, we don't, as a result of calling on Allah and us to trying to implement that meaning, that doesn't have an effect on us. That's not a transitive attribute. It's a thing. Because of some of the names that Allah SWT has, we know that these names are, all of them are co-eternal. That's number one. All of Allah's names are co-eternal. And all of them coexist with Allah. He's not one at one time and not one at another time. You follow what I'm saying? Inside, as we mentioned earlier, inside of every name there's an attribute. Inside of every name of Allah, there's an attribute. Or an attribute. Right? We know which ones have an effect on us because those attributes are transient, they're transient in their nature itself. In other words, holiness suggests divinity. When something is holy, that means it's perfect. That's the meaning of holiness in Islam, in Arabic. It means it's perfect. That's why we know that Jesus is not divine. Holiness is divinity. There's no way you can be holy and not be divine. It's a problem. But you can be merciful. You can be beneficent. You would be beneficent. You would be beneficent.
The average person is beneficent.
System, because we would have gone on thinking that human beings can be holy. I mean, we're not saying the person that fought because they said, I'm holy, my brethren is holy, my man is holy, my children is holy, Jesus is holy, prophet. We're not saying, you know, we're going to block them, you know, put them in a distance, don't do that. We're just saying that it's incorrect to believe that once you've been taught this, it's incorrect to believe it. When you study the names of Allah, attributes of Allah, you'll see that some of them can only be Allah. He can't share with them. But there are other things that he shares with Allah. With time, Allah.